The story of Mary and Martha is a familiar one. It's a very brief account. You heard it read a few minutes ago, just a few verses in Luke's gospel. And only Luke, of the gospel writers, includes this account. In many ways, I can understand why it would only make it in one of the four gospels. There's not really anything eventful that happens here. There's no miracles that take place. There's no rebuking of the religious establishment. It's just a small dinner party with a handful of people. A dinner party in a friend's home. And yet, I think that this brief account finds its way into the scriptures because it ably presents to us two common ways in which we can engage Jesus Christ. Two common ways in which we can engage Jesus. Martha has opened her home to Jesus and is busy with the preparations such as hospitality normally requires. Martha's sister Mary, on the other hand, is giving her attention to Jesus, the guest of honor. Luke tells us that Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. So what's the problem? What's the big deal here? Well, remember back with me, if you can, remember back with me. In the good old days when we used to be able to have people over to our house for dinner. Those were good times. Now, if you've ever hosted someone in your home and you're married, usually there's a division of tasks. One person focuses on the kitchen and the cooking, while the other focuses on interacting with the guests and making them feel welcome. What you're trying to do is you're trying to avoid a situation where both people are in the kitchen working and nobody's sitting with the guests. You're also trying to avoid a situation where both people are sitting with the guests in the living room and no one's watching the dinner and it overcooks. We don't know if Mary and Martha worked out a system ahead of time. And if they did, something evidently changed for Martha. Now Martha's looking for help from her sister. Maybe that's happened to you. You're co-hosting with a friend or a sibling or a spouse, and you have this division of tasks. Okay, I'll be with the guests. You work in the kitchen. And have you ever had that instance where you're the guest and you go into the kitchen and just to see how it's going and you get the look? And the look says, you've got the easy job working with the guests. Maybe that's what happened between Mary and Martha. Whatever the previous arrangement was, Martha was giving Mary the look. And came to the conclusion that her sister should have been helping with the preparations. Luke's reference to Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus is significant. In Jesus' day, to sit at the feet of another person was to assume the posture of a student. Mary's posture at Jesus' feet expresses both humility and teachability. Or as Charles Spurgeon puts it, sitting at the feet of Jesus indicates a childlike spirit of true discipleship. Martha, on the other hand, was distracted with much serving. Listening to Jesus, sitting down to a sermon, would have interfered with her ability to prepare dinner. So she thought. Frustrated that she was left to make preparations on her own, Martha confronts Jesus, not Mary. Martha confronts Jesus and says, Lord, do you not care? Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? tell her to help me. Even before we look at Jesus' response, we detect something in Martha's complaint. Look at the use of the pronouns, my and me. They occur four times. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone, that is, by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha's complaint betrays her real focus. The day may have begun with Martha having a genuine concern for serving Jesus, but by this point, Martha was primarily concerned about Martha. And this shift in how and why we serve is a real danger for every Christian, particularly those serving in the local church. We sign up to do a task. We sign up to join the choir. We promise to teach Sunday school. We agree to become a deacon. Why? Because we love Jesus Christ. And we want to be a blessing to His people. So we join that committee. We agree to that task. We join that ministry. But as time goes on, some of us begin to feel a little unappreciated or underappreciated. Sometimes we even feel neglected, like no one's willing to assist us. We're left alone to do our work. And eventually we forget why we agreed to do this thing in the first place. And so we resent having all of this responsibility with no one to help us, and so our joy dissipates. Indeed, Martha had lost her joy. Martha thought the lack of assistance from Mary was the problem. But Jesus defends Mary's choice. The Lord answers Martha and says to her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Do you see the gentleness in Jesus' response to Martha? Martha's question was confrontational. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left all the work for me to do? Tell her to help me." At best, Martha is speaking inappropriately to Jesus. At worst, she is being downright rude. I can think of several less kind ways that Jesus could have responded to Martha. He could have said, "Come on, Martha, just simmer down, settle down, everything's going to be fine. Stop getting so worked up." Jesus could have said, "Come on, Martha, leave me out of this. Whatever you got going on between you and your sister, that's your business. Leave me out of this." But Jesus' response is far more gentle. And it's not that Martha was engaged in something that was entirely unimportant. Jesus does not say, "Martha, what you're doing is terrible. Hospitality is a bad idea, and I wish you wouldn't spend any energy looking after me in this way." No, Jesus doesn't say that. Martha's error is that she imagined that her work, she imagined that her task was the most important one. Hospitality is a good thing. It's an important thing. But Jesus says it's not the main thing. That's the message here. Mary, Jesus says, has chosen the good portion. If you're following along in the NIV, it frames it by saying, Mary has chosen what is better. She has chosen what is better. Mary is doing the one thing necessary. Now, I hope you've tracked with me this long, and if you have, some of you might be thinking, what is this text have to do with anything that we're dealing with? There is a global, has anyone told Pastor Bryn there's a global pandemic? That we're under a nationally imposed 24-hour curfew? Why, Pastor Bryn, are you giving us this text about personality differences and sibling rivalry? Why is this important in a day such as this? Stay with me. Last Sunday, we looked at Psalm 33. And in Psalm 33, we were reminded that God is sovereign, that God is in control of all things, and that God is good, and that He will work out good purposes. He has the capacity to take awful circumstances, such as what the world is experiencing, and bring about a blessed and good result. This morning, we return to our series in Luke, and I think providentially so. We're being challenged to consider, what's going to be your posture before Jesus in the middle of this crisis? In the middle of COVID-19, your routines have been changed. The way in which you engage other human beings has changed. You're in a 24-hour lockdown, as it were. How are you going to calibrate your posture before Jesus Christ? We naturally come to this passage and we understand, oh, some of us are going to be more like Martha. Some of us are going to be more like Mary. I wonder if you'll agree with this. I think most of us are like Martha. Maybe I shouldn't universalize my own tendencies, but I think my experience, anecdotally, more of us are like Martha than we're like Mary. And in a capitalist society where economic gains reign supreme, there is pressure to be a Martha. Because if you're like Mary, you're not going to be very productive in the workplace. If you're like Martha, you're going to get things done. In our society, it's the Marthas who get promotions and raises because they work hard. They work long hours. They never put down their phone. They're always WhatsApping somebody because that's the way success goes, so we imagine. COVID-19 has changed the rules. It's changed the landscape. 24-hour shelter-at-home orders have changed our daily routine. Let's be honest. Most of us, not all of us, if you're in the medical field, if you're in the food industry, but most of us have more time on our hands, right? Most of us have more time on our hands. And so most of us have a fresh opportunity to shed our Martha tendencies if we choose. So you're sitting here today, you're watching from home, and you're thinking, yes, guilty as charged, I'm a Martha. COVID-19 and the response that we're being pushed towards gives us a new opportunity to change our posture before the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result, we've got a decision to make. We've got a choice to make. And what I want to make clear this morning is even if we are prone to Martha tendencies, we ought to choose to be like Mary. Because Mary unequivocally Jesus says, has chosen the better thing. Jesus does not say, tomato, tomato. He does not say, sixth and one half dozen. Mary's doing a good thing, listening. Martha, you're doing a good thing. We're all doing great things. No. Jesus says, Mary has chosen that which is better. Sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, listening to His teaching, this is the better way. And as your pastor, I don't want any of you to miss the opportunity that's uniquely before us. COVID-19 has created for many of us new space, new opportunities to choose that which is better. I'm not saying that your other activities don't matter, that your other activities don't have value. They do. You may be doing some things that are hugely important. But as Jesus suggests, there is only one thing that has infinite value. And that is the time we spend having fellowship and worshiping Jesus Christ. Now, this does not mean that we engage in the one thing to the exclusion of everything else. But the one thing necessary which Jesus identifies points to a particular order, doesn't it? The message this morning to you here and at home is not, please stop taking care of your family. Please stop cleaning the house and looking after their needs and don't pay any bills. That's not the message. The message is not to neglect our worldly responsibilities. The message is to order these things properly. And in very first place is your posture before Jesus Christ. That's more important than your spouse, more important than your children, more important than your parents, more important than everything else. And many of us have the order wrong. Many of us get to Jesus once we've looked after the other things. Once we've paid the bills, once we've got the kids to practice, then we look at Jesus. That's wrong-headed. Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. So you get everything. You get what you need. You get your daily bread. Your family is cared for. But you seek first the kingdom. You seek first to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to bring into greater focus the one thing that Jesus says is necessary. We've already said that keeping company with Jesus is the most important thing. But Luke's description of what Mary is doing is very specific. And so my hope is that your application of this text will be equally specific. Luke says that Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. And I appreciate that kind of focus, given the reality that we might imagine our relationship with Jesus and our interaction with Jesus differently from one another. Some of you will say, well, I engage Jesus best when I'm walking on the beach. Some of you will say, well, I engage Jesus best when I'm playing my favorite music. Some of you will say, I engage Jesus best when I'm helping those in need. But what was Mary doing? She was listening to the teaching of Jesus. And friends, I can see there may be 1,000 useful, good ways in which you engage the Lord Jesus Christ. But as far as I can tell, there are only a couple of ways in which we can listen to His teaching. To listen to Jesus requires that we give attention to the private and public study of the Bible. We give our attention to the private and public study of the Bible. We can pat one another on the back this morning, because if you're watching this, you're giving attention to the public teaching of Scripture. But this has got to be our main thing. Not just a Sunday morning thing, not even a weekday first thing in the morning. We have a new opportunity to saturate our life with the teaching of Jesus. For some of you, this means we're going to have to forge new Bible reading habits. And I need to do that this morning because of the opportunity before us. Because if I come to you on another Sunday, maybe a couple months ago, if I come to you and say, you need to elevate your Bible reading. You need to elevate how much time you spend giving attention to God's Word. Some of you might respond, Pastor Bryn, you have no idea how busy I am. You have no idea how many things I'm managing at the moment. I'm just giving, you know, the little bit of time I have to reading my Bible, but please don't ask me to elevate. I've got too much going on. But today is different. And there's less of us who can say that we have more going on. There's less of us who can say we just don't have any time for Bible reading. I'm watching the news as you are. People are engaging in all kinds of activities that we don't commonly engage in. I'm probably like many of you, I've dusted off some old board games in my house. Many of you have played Monopoly for the first time in years. You're playing more backgammon at home. You're playing chess with those members of your household. It's a little bit of a warning though. If you play Monopoly and backgammon and chess, it could spur on some conflict in the home, and that's not always a good thing. Well, mental health experts are telling us that one of the best things that we can do is pick up a book and read. So the mental health experts, all the top psychologists, psychiatrists, they're on the talk shows and they're saying, you know, we just need people to pick up books and read. Well, this morning I'm asking you to pick up this book and read. Pick up this book and read. Before you get through all those novels, before you get through all those books that you've just downloaded, pick up this book first. Work your way through these pages. Sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. Choose the better thing. While you have this unique opportunity to reorder the habits and routines of your life, choose the better thing. While you have this unusual amount of flexible time, choose to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will use this time wisely. We don't know if we have days, weeks, or even longer. But let us covenant with one another and with God to use this time wisely. I imagine there will be some people who will emerge from this crisis saying things like, you know what? My marriage has never been better. We spent so much time together, quality time, talking. It was wonderful. Some of you are going to emerge from this crisis saying, my relationship with my children has never been better. This was a wonderful opportunity to interact with them. Some of you will say, I had to check in on my elderly parents. And I had to make sure they were okay. And some of you will emerge saying, never have I had a better relationship with my mother or with my father. And these are all great things. We want this. We want you to emerge with better relationships. But there is something better still. I want each and every one of you to emerge from this crisis, having sat at the feet of Jesus Christ, having studied the scriptures diligently, I want you to emerge and say, my relationship with the Lord is better. COVID-19 was horrible, and it took thousands of lives, but thousands more returned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thousands more walk more closely with Him. May you be one of them. Amen. Let's pray.